In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. It's good to see you after a while. Haven't been here for a while. As you know, I took like 2 weeks. I don't want to say off. It's 2 weeks of hard work, the sabbatical trip that I took to the monastery. So I want to tell you a little bit about my trip and what I learned or to share a little bit with you. So the reason why I went out of town, or I went for, you know, time with God or some time in the monastery for prayer, is actually right before then, things were not going really well on, you know, church level service and personal level. And I even remember I kept telling the fathers, there is something wrong. And I don't know, I have no idea what is that thing, the wrong thing is. But I felt, you know, inside that there is something is wrong. Something is not adding up. I don't feel the spirit in the ministry and in the service, something is missing. So as I was praying about it and what I should do, then one of the blogs that I read for some of the Christian leaders said that he took like a month for sabbatical leave. I said, that's exactly what I need. And I was actually praying that day, opened that blog of this guy. He blogs almost every day. Found him saying he just came back from 1 month of sabbatical leave. I said, amen. That's what it is. But of course, if I said month, you know, I would be killed in the church. So, you know, made that 2 weeks, and then I asked God, where should I go? And then a couple of people were going to the monastery, like a couple of group of servants, one after the other. And I said, maybe that's where it is. Anyways, I ended up there. When I arrived there in the monastery in Texas, first of all, it was like 1,000 degrees, not 100 degrees. You know, it's Texas, July. There's no smart person who goes over there, you know, in July. And once I stepped in there, I said, what did I do to myself? Am I going to stay in this furnace for 2 weeks? I said, I think that I can change the tickets. That's my, you know, initial thought after I arrived there. But that was just, you know, the beginning, and after that things became much better. It was just a warfare in the beginning. So I started by, you know, spending time in prayer and asking God, so what's wrong with the service? What's wrong, you know, why the servants, you, are very bad and not doing their job? And then he said, let me tell you what's wrong with you, not with them. And then he kept going on and on and on. Okay, didn't even reach a time to tell me what's wrong with you, but, you know, it was more personal in the beginning. It was very, very, very good time, very needed. And so basically, like one third of the time was just prayer, and two-thirds of the time were reading. You know, I just stayed in my room the entire time. I wouldn't even go to eat. Either some people send me food, or, you know, I had some stuff, so I don't waste my time. Believe it or not, it was too short. So, you know, after I came back, I was sharing with the fathers, you know, what I learned and what God has, you know, told me. And I wanted also to share with you the vision that we have, you know, for the church, something that we can go by in this coming year. So, God always had wonderful, wonderful plans for this church. And everybody came here, and everybody's serving here, very, very special. You guys are special. Everyone that God brings here, especially for the ministry, very, very special, selected by God for the ministry. But I think as we're growing and growing fast, very rapidly, things just we become systematic too much, and we become robots, and somehow we lose the spirit along the way. That's how we did things. That's how we used to do things. That's how we always did things. We've been doing retreats for, you know, 12 years, 13, 14 years. You know, we know how to do a retreat. You know, takes no time. Just put this and that and call this person, prepare this. But what is the result? What is the outcome? So Sunday school, easy. That's how to prepare, make sure the lessons, this and that. But where are the fruits? Where are the changed lives? Where are the people who are dedicating their lives for God? Where are the transformed lives? Where are the really, really, really bad kids who are back to church and they are serving God and they are on fire? Where are the new believers that added to the church daily as the book of Acts? We're missing that fire, the fire of Elijah that you're going to discuss next week. So the message is we need a fair assessment for ourselves, because God doesn't use ministry, but God uses ministers. God uses people. God uses hearts. God uses dedicated people. God uses people who are in love with Him. God sends the Holy Spirit and sends His work through us, whether we like it or not, whether we know that or not. The channels of God to people and to His church is through us. So if we want God to do something amazing in our church, and we want to be led by the Spirit, and we want to be on fire again, it has to come through us. We have to take responsibility over that. And we have to do a fair assessment for our spiritual life and our ministry. Maybe the spiritual life is not going to look as bad as, you know, we think. We're better than other people. We do our quiet time. You know, it's not the best. I don't spend enough time in the quiet, but I do it. You know, and I read my Bible, I do my prayers and stuff like this. Forget about that. What are the fruits? Where are the fruits in our lives? Can you think that there is a piece of fire would be in a place and would leave this place the same? Absolutely not. The fire will turn this place into something else. And that's how the man of God. Man of God, you put them everywhere, anywhere, they will set this place on fire. Why? Because they bring the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's how the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles at tongues of fire. These tongues of fire went everywhere, as it was said about them in the book of Acts. They said they turned the world upside down. Turned the world upside down. It didn't say they prayed nice prayers. They were good people. They were nice people. No, Jesus said, I came to set fire on earth, and I want this fire to spread everywhere. Can you label your ministry, anything you do, as fire? Or it's something nice and organized and looks really, really good and fabulous, fantastic, and a lot of people show up? I think to a big extent we're fooled by the number of people just because we're a big church. We're a big church. Anything you do, you're going to find a lot of people. A lot of servants, a lot of people, a lot of kids. You know why you have a lot of kids in your Sunday school? Because we have a lot of people. You know, that's the only reason. Not because there is something here touches the heart and people are like dying and kids can't wait for Sunday to come to be in this classroom because they are transformed, because they experience Jesus Christ in that room. No. It's because they have nowhere else. And there is a lot of people, and that's why they're there. But are they changed? Are they transformed? Is this place like full of the presence of God? There's no way you enter into the presence of God anywhere, in your prayer room, in church, anywhere, and you go out of this place the same. No way. No way anyone went into the presence of God and went out the same way. Is this your presence? Is this your life? Is this your ministry? Is this your going out with people? That's how you meet people? That's how the case when you call people? That's how the case when you get in touch with people? The fire of God and the fire of the Holy Spirit will come to people through you, through your smile, through your words, through your genuine shaking of hands or hug or eye contact. Is the presence of God, it's the love of God. Is this the case? Is this the case? We need true assessment of that. My friends, it's a great honor to be the servants of God. Servants of God are supposed to be men of God, as it was said about Elijah. Men of God, people of God. You see them, you experience Christ. If this is not the case, there's something, we need some true assessment here. We need to see what's going on. Jesus told the disciples, your reward will be great in heaven. He told them, whoever does and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus told Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Yes, Lord, of course, I love you. If I ask any, do you love me? Of course, Lord, I love you. Tend my sheep. You really love me? Yes, Lord, you know. Take care of my flock. You really love me? Yes, Lord, you know, of course. Is this a question? Of course I love you. Tend my sheep. Take care of my lambs, my flock. It's a great honor, but a great responsibility too. Any one of you read the book of Priesthood for St. John Chrysostom? It's a wonderful, wonderful book. It talks about the responsibility of the ministers. It's the responsibility of the servants. It's a great responsibility. These are souls. Every single one we deal with them is a precious soul. Jesus died. He shed his blood. The church he bought with his own blood for these souls. We're dealing with the most precious commodity on this planet, the souls. So we need true assessment here. And every soul counts. Every soul counts. No matter how big is your ministry. But Jesus looked on the one sheep that is lost out of 99. That's a great number. Like there are 35 kids in the classroom. How about this hurting one that didn't come? You know, the meeting is full. How about these who are lost? These are far away. Are we happy with the 99? How about the one? This soul is so precious to God. You will have no idea how much the soul is precious to God unless you yourself know how much you are precious to Him. How much He loves you. How much He changes everything for you. How much He cares for you. How much He takes you step by step. How much He's longing for you day after day to talk to you, to speak to you, to use you, to show you Himself, to show you His love. It's amazing how He makes things. He can change weather for you. He can change circumstances for you. You have no idea how much sins he forgives you. And you're not even aware of it because you're a servant. You're a good person. Make no mistake about it. The sins of the Pharisees were worse than the tax collectors. Don't think that our sins are any less than the people who are outside. He who knows how much he's forgiven, that's how much he loves. That's one of the great things that God showed me in that retreat. I was caring about the ministry, but he said, let me show you my love. And I'll show you my love through showing you your sinfulness. And if you just know how sinful you are, how you're breaking all the commandments, you, the servant of God, the priest of God, breaking all the commandments, and the most important commandments, the commandments of love, loving God from the heart, and loving others. If I show you this, you will understand how much I'm forgiving you. You will understand how much I've been patient with you. You will be so appreciative, so grateful for my mercy. Unless we understand that, we will never be able to love God or love others. Isaiah was a great prophet, amazing prophet, went to the temple to pray, Isaiah 6. And he was sad because the king died and he didn't know what's going to happen. He was from the royal family, and you know when kings die, other kings come and they kill everyone in the family, so they become like the greatest. So he didn't know, and he went and he just, his heart is weighed down, and I don't know what God's going to do with this. The ministry is suffering, the people, you know, the kingdom, all of this. And then God appeared to him in a temple. And when God appeared to him, he forgot everything about the people and Israel and the king who died and all of this. And he saw like the cherubim and the seraphim and saying, holy, holy, holy are you, O God. And all of a sudden, he forgot everything and he kept saying, woe to me, I have sinned. Woe to me, I'm a sinful man. What? You're coming to complain about the service and about the things that you have to do and about what's going on in life and about the economy and the new king and all of this. What happened? He said, no, forget about that. How come I'm a servant? Woe to me, I'm a sinful man of unclean lips. What did God say? No, you're a good person. He said, yes, you are. Yes, you are. And he took the coal from the altar, touched him, cleansed him. Cleansed him with the Holy Spirit, with his body and blood. Now you're cleansed. Now you may be ready to serve. Now you're okay. And he said, whom shall I send? And Isaiah said, I'm the first one. I'm the first volunteer. Why? Because he's touched them. That's how God shows his love. The greatest of the disciples, Peter. Anyone sinned more than Peter? Not talking, of course, about Judas because this man is off. No one sinned more than Peter. But see the love. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? 3 times. The number of betrayal or denial. You love me. You love me. Do you love me? Of course, you know, he remembered his sin. So, what I'm trying to say is, we need this true assessment of ourselves, of our spiritual life. Jesus said, that's how you know a prophet, if he's a true prophet or not. How do you know the true prophet from the false prophets? Jesus said that in the Bible, in the Gospels. You know? How do you differentiate? How do you know that this is a good prophet and this is a false prophet? From their fruits. He said that. How do you differentiate? From their fruits, you know them. From their fruits. Fruits of the Spirit. The love, peace, joy, long-suffering, self-control, all these fruits, the fruits of love. If this is a loving person, He's a true prophet. He's a true servant of God. He loves God. He loves others. So I really, really, really encourage you to take some time to do true assessment of your spiritual life. You know why? Because we are the channels of God's love to people. If the channels are blocked, if the veins are blocked, the person is dead. The heart could be working perfect. The Holy Spirit is there. It's full of fire. It's full of effect. The work of God is no less than the Church of the Apostles. But the veins are blocked. Are blocked, you know, the prayers are so routine and so dry. And the spiritual life is just so empty of the fire of God, of the presence of God. And the fruits are so can barely find fruits. Needs true assessment of our spiritual life. We got a responsibility. I don't want to turn it, you know, I don't want to scare you and tell you that He will ask us for the blood of people. I can go on and on and on with this, but I don't want, because I will be judging myself before anyone else. But believe me, it's not a joke, you know. It's not a joke, and we should not take it lightly. Let's see if I have here the verse of Jeremiah that says, basically, a curse on him who is lax in doing the Lord's work. Very difficult, very tough. A curse on him who is lax in doing the Lord's work. Either I'm a good channel or I'm blocked. If I'm blocked, step out of the way. Take this vein, clean it, do balloon, catheter, whatever it is, but let the blood flow through this again. Let the life of Christ flow through this again. Okay, telling you that regardless of what you do, even if you're not doing anything, even if you're just a friend of a few people in the church, maybe God wants to work through your friends. I was like doing a lot of revision of my life, and I asked myself, like, who are the people that influenced me most in my life? Actually, someone asked me this question over there. You know, they know that I'm from the church here in Washington, so they know that, or they think that this church is, you know, is a great church. So, yeah, who influenced you in your life? And I've never asked this, myself this question. So I kept thinking, guess who? My Sunday school, like my first Sunday school teacher did that. And he did like the first spark. I promise you. Not a priest, not anyone. The Sunday school teacher was like the first one who did the first spark. But who did the biggest influence? And not just the biggest influence. I thought about who are the people or the person that gave me love more than anyone else. You'll be surprised. They were a group of friends. Group of friends that I got to know in the church, and we became best friends. I learned from them more than anyone else in my life. More than priests, more than servants, more than anyone. Just group of friends. Just group of friends. We were five people. I learned from them, and I received from them a lot of love. And I, you know, learned how to serve, learned how to love God. Do you know that you can influence your friends 10 times more than the people that you're teaching or the people that you're with? You know that you can influence the servants with you more than anyone else, your peers, the people, like the true assessment of your life, you will never know it from the person who's above you or the person who's under you. You'll know it from the person, your peers, whether your partner at home or your partners, the servants. This is your biggest chance to influence people. Guess why? Because the kids will say, yeah, he's a teacher, he's a servant, he's this. And the older person will say, you know, he's in a different category. But your peer will look at you and will learn from you. Can you imagine that? I'm not talking about influencing now, you know, your Sunday school kids. I'm talking about your peers. I'm talking about your friends. Maybe it's time that God uses to either to give the spark, the first spark, or to give the gas to set the spark on fire. Don't be content where you are. I encourage you never to be content where you are spiritually, or else you will be one of the five foolish virgins. They were so foolish. They thought they were okay, but they were not okay. These foolish virgins, they were virgins, meaning dedicated, consecrated to God. But they were kicked out completely. Not because they were sinful, but because they were foolish. They were foolish. They didn't know the importance of the fire that they should keep with them, the oil. They didn't know that. They thought, if we have the dress of the virgins and we have our lamps in our hands, then we're good. No, that's foolish. It's what makes the fire. It's the oil that makes the fire. Do you have this oil or not? Do you have this fire inside or not? And maybe this fire is just oil now. It's not burning, but it's ready. It's there. Once the spark comes, once the time comes, we find it ready. Sometime you would fill the container with oil for years. But at the perfect time, God will use you to set someone or some place or some church or some people on fire. God can keep this for years. John the Baptist, 30 years in the wilderness of prayer, 6 months. He turned Judea and Jerusalem, the whole area, on fire. That's the product of the 30 years accumulation of oil. Sometime you will accumulate and someone gets in trouble, has a problem, and then you pour this oil, this fire of God on him, the Holy Spirit, the love, everything you learned on this person, and this person is transformed. Is transformed. Do you have this oil ready for God to use at the right time, at the perfect time? Or you're dispensing. You just get some quiet time in the morning. By the end of the day, you curse the day where you're born and, you know, all the peace are gone and, you know, that's it. And you're empty again. And when the bridegroom comes at midnight, we'll find you empty. No oil. Time for true assessment. Time of true assessment. So let me give you practical application for that. Okay? If you don't do it, your blood is on you. I don't know you. But you gotta take a personal retreat. Just by yourself, you can take someone with you, whatever it is, you gotta do that. If you don't do that before the beginning of the new year, I don't want you to serve. You're useless. You're going to be a burden. You're going to, you know, quench the fire that God will send. Okay? If you don't listen, you don't obey, you're no good. That's number one. Number two, do really true assessment. Where are your fruits? Are you led by the Spirit, full of the Spirit? Are you a spiritual person? Do you set people on fire when you talk to people, when you love people, when you get in touch with people? And if not, see where the problem is. Offer repentance. We all need to offer repentance. Offer repentance, and God will fill you, and God will, you know, will renew his covenant with you, and God will give you much, much, much more. Okay? So, in order to do that, I'm going to give you even the materials where you do that. I want you to study the seven churches. Forget about the seven churches of you know, the book of Revelation. Just study three. Ephesus, the first one, Sardis in the middle, and Laodicea, the last one. Ephesus, Sardis, Laodicea, these three. Study them, pray about them, use them as a prayer material, and I'm sure that God will speak to you through them. And last is, were you able to, like, now all of this is about yourself. Think a little bit after you do your personal assessment and all these things. Think about the people that you influence, people that you're responsible for, people that you serve. Think about how many times you put their names on the altar. Or how many times you prayed for them, put them in your prayers. How many times you pleaded with God for those people. And how many times you outreached those, okay? Because the outreach also, I get a lot of complaint that outreach is so weak. Why? Because our hearts are not burning. Like, you know, it's just a show of, you know, cold and not really, you know, burning with indignation, as Saint Paul said, who is weak, and I'm not burning with indignation. I'm burning. Why? These people are lost. Okay? So, think about this. It's a perfect time of personal assessment and service assessment before we start the new year. Please, I beg you, take time to do that. And that's how God will use all of us. That's how all of us, as a church, if this church needs to be on the uphill, we need all of us to be together. Can never do it without you. I can do it. We can do it as priests. We need you. It's very, very, very important. Your role is very important. When God blessed this church, it was because of the servants. Not just the priests, but because of the servants. Servants did here more than anyone else. So your role is very, very crucial, very important. God called you to serve. God wants you to serve. God wants to use you. And eventually, he wants to bless you with the greatest reward. It's a great privilege, great honor to be the servants of God. But let this not be from the outside, but, you know, from the inside. A call from God to us. Sorry, I took a lot of your time. I hope you forgive me, and let's stand for prayer. Lord, we thank you for this great call to serve you, Lord, we the undeserving, to be called fellow workers with God. Who are we, Lord, to be fellow workers with the Almighty? Who are we, Lord, to be in this position that you put your apostles in, that you chose the elect people and the select people, Lord, to be in it? And we know, Lord, that you never put us in a place without giving us, Lord, the strength, and without giving us the spirit to help us, and without giving us the means. So pray, Lord, that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon every and each one of us. Let the fire of the Spirit cleanse our hearts, our consciences, our understandings, our minds, our bodies, our lives. Give us to say with Christ, for their sakes I sanctify my life. Won't you give us the holiness we need, Lord? The holiness without which no one can see God. Give us to be perfect in that holiness that you called us to have. Give us to be true men of God and women of God. Give us that to encounter you in every prayer, that our prayers are no longer dry, weak, and useless, and powerless, but time to be in touch with the Almighty. Give every and each one of us, Lord, to be locked in a closet and plead with you until you fill us with the Spirit, until you bless our lives with your presence, until you give us power from above. Lord, we can't do it. Can't change ourselves, let alone changing other people. But you can. Give us to free a place for you. Give us to be healed from the distraction of this world. Give us never to be distracted like the rest of the world, but to be people of meditation, to meditate on your word day and night, not to be just fulfilled with the bread of life, with the bread of this life, but with the true bread of life, which is Christ himself. Give us unity in you. Give us fervent love for your character, Lord. We always come to you for something that you help, that you give strength, that you give comfort. But we want to come to you for you, for knowing you, for loving you, for being in love with you, Lord, that people can see and can tell this love that we have for you. Not for just the sake of ministry and for the sake of people, but just for our sakes. Show us your love. Show us your amazing forgiveness day after day. Open the mysteries of the Bible and the mysteries of your love to us, that we may become like your disciples. We give this life to others. Transform us into your image. Heal our hearts and our souls. Heal us from our egos and our pride. Heal us from our hypocrisy and the nice face we put in front of people, and the lack of genuineness in our relationship with you and with people. Heal us from all of this. Give us to be true, genuine people with you and with others, having true love for you and for others. Pray for everyone, Lord, of my brothers and sisters who are standing before you. We trust you. You said if we ask anything in your name, and if we ask in faith, and if we ask according to your will, that you will give us. So why won't you give us, Lord? There's no reason why not. Pour out your Holy Spirit on our lives, on the church, and give us to live in your presence. Give us to live in your glory. Let your glory give us love and unity, so your Holy Spirit may dwell in our midst and in our ministry. Pray that you bless your servants, bless their lives, their work, their home, their school, everything they do, Lord. And let everything they do be for your glory. Give them the means to do their personal time and personal retreat, personal assessment, and open the mysteries of your word and your love before every and each one of them. I pray this in the name of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, through the intercession of Holy Mother, Saint Mary, Saint Mark, all your saints. Hear us, Lord, and pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for in the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the love of God the Father, the grace of his only begotten Son, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You may depart in peace. May the peace of God be with you all.